folks, and welcome. This is Pastor Butch Paul, and I'm again filling in with This is a Wednesday, of course, 6th July, 2022. I'm filling in for Wendy, what's from George Madden, for Melody Seastrom with Financial Survival. We have a lot of news covered today, as usual. And as usual, Melody takes Wednesdays off to cut up on things around the office, and we always have Wendy up with us for the first segment. Before we go to our guest, to Wendy, today, though, I want to go through the markets, if you don't mind. And metals are taking a beating, folks. The dollar's getting stronger. That's exactly the reason I think of what's happening. But nonetheless, it's metals taking a beating. I want to encourage you, do not become discouraged because metals are going down a little bit. They do that. Then you go back up to above the record levels before. They're going to do that again. So don't do anything except hang in there or buy some more while the prices are down. Now, I've learned this from experience over the last 20-some years, doing a little bit of work in the metals. But gold was down 24.10 to 17.39.80. And believe it or not, I didn't get the last other three. I don't know how I missed them, but I did. Nonetheless, all the metals were, I don't know about palladium, silver and palladium, platinum were both down today. I didn't get the totals on those. Palladium, I'm not sure. But gold and metals are taking a hit today, so don't be discouraged on that because I promise you, they will turn around. Don't be discouraged. Oil was down today. I mean, down 84 cents to 98.65. But I haven't seen that reflect too much in the gas prices yet. So it's amazing. Oil go up to $120. Price of gasoline will go through the roof. And then when it comes back down below 100, the price of gas stays stagnant for a while. Isn't that amazing how that works? USDX was up 0.51 to 107.05. So we're seeing that grow continually. In the markets, the Dow was up 192 to 31,160. The S&P was up 30.76 to 38.62. The NASDAQ was up 93.65 to 11,415. The Nikkei was also up, down 315 to 26,107. DAX was up 266 to 12,666. FTSE was up 8,230 to 7,107. So the market's all but for the Nikkei. I've done well today. And I'm gonna get the price on the silver and the palladium when he's talking to us, because I didn't find those on my list. I must have skipped over them somehow. I'll get to those right after we talk to Wendy. And Wendy Wilson, are you there?
Here, Pastor Butch. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, Wendy. What's new in your world?
Well, we came across a couple of these polls that were interesting on the condition of our healthcare system and also how Americans think they're faring overall health-wise. And I thought they were pretty interesting. It's like an update. So a lot of reports on polls, as you know, Pastor Butch, showing how Americans are doing health-wise, you know, how they think they're feeling. But Americans over 20 were polled, but according to the report, their health status is sinking fast with regards to a lot of the statistics. So the information was gathered by the Tufts University poll and the Harris poll. Now, just 67 years ago, Pastor Butch, you were alive then, I think, right?
Yeah, go ahead and rub it in. Go ahead.
Well, just 67 years ago, obesity was uncommon as a $5 cup of coffee, okay? Coffee back then was a nickel or 10 cents. But anyway, newsreels on U.S. citizens from that time frame show our U.S. troops, especially in Hawaii, right around the World War II era, had no overweight people in those reels they were showing. You can look them up on YouTube. Nobody's overweight in there. It's just amazing. So what happened to America to make such a negative impact on our overall health, on our nation with regards to these polls? Here's a quote from Dr. Megan O'Hearn. She's with the Friedman School of Nutritional Science. She said, "These numbers are striking. It's deeply problematic that the United States, one of the wealthiest nations in the world, fewer than 1 in 15 adults have optimal cardiac health." So we got weak hearts, we got blood pressure issues, we got cholesterol issues. So just 1 in 15 adults has a healthy cardio system. What do you think of that?
I think it's sad, but I can understand why it is with our lifestyle today. I sure can.
Right, right. Well, Dr. O'Hearn is actually describing Americans, and America is a pretty much unhealthy nation, and we're not the one of the healthiest nations, when you look at the global statistics, America is not even in the top 10 healthiest nations. The top 10 is number one spot goes to Spain, 2 Italy, 3 Iceland, 4 Japan, Switzerland, Sweden, Australia, Singapore, Norway, and Israel. So those are the top 10 healthiest nations so far. And according to the 2019 Global Perspective on Health, the United States ranks in last place. I thought that was pretty bad. So according to that Global Perspective, they said the United States ranks last overall despite spending far more on the gross domestic product on health care. U.S. ranks last on access to care, administrative efficiency, equity, and healthcare outcomes. That's bad.
How the mighty have fallen.
Right. Let's see. This is from the National Library of Medicine, 2013. They said the United States is the wealthiest nation in the world and is by far from the healthiest. So we're not the healthiest. And they went on to say, compared to other countries, Americans are more likely to find care inaccessible or unaffordable. End of quote. You know, when is that, on the U.S. news? I don't think you've ever heard that, have you?
No, we haven't. No, we haven't. You know, and Wendy, when you look at America overall, academically and every other way, we have fallen near the bottom.
That's it. And the media reporting is telling us we're living longer and we're healthier than ever. Here's a quote from the National Library of Medicine. They said, Americans live shorter lives and experience more injuries and illness than people in other high-income countries. In most instances, compared to other countries, Americans are living 4 to 5 years less. For the past 3 decades, this difference in life expectancy has been growing, especially among women. End of quote. So they go on to add also this, the consequences of not attending to the growing U.S. health disadvantage and reversing current trends are predictable. The U.S. will probably continue to fall further behind comparable to countries on health outcomes and mortality. In addition, the personal toll this will take and drain on the life and health of Americans may ultimately affect even the economy, prosperity, and our other countries. They go on to say we will not have a healthy or productive workforce as far as the population goes, and there is so much at stake, especially for the American youth, and the United States can't afford to ignore this growing health disadvantage. So,
and you know that's biblical. That's biblical. You know that,
right? You know, it's. Let's look at the Tufts poll. Let's get to that because we'll run out of time quick. The Tufts University polled 55,000 people over the age of 20 prior to the COVID-19 problem, and there were 5 categories of health, and less than 7% matched the criteria for optimum health. Less than 7%. So here is what the Tufts University poll found: 6.8% of adult Americans have good cardiac health, and this included blood pressure, blood sugar, cholesterol, and body weight. But to the amazement of the researchers, they found compared to previous polls, the health decline over a 23-year period was considered, quote, a steep decline. So in 1999, the polls revealed 1 in 3 Americans were considered healthy. And then in 2018, the poll said 1 in 4. And the same decline showed on the diabetic category as well. They went on to say, we need a complete overhaul of our healthcare system, food system, environment, because of the crisis everyone is in. Disease is not the only problem. We don't just want to be free of disease. We want to achieve optimal health and well-being. Yeah, people are tired of disease management. They want a cure. They want to be well. They don't want to live with their disease and taking drugs for life. People are tired of doing that. So the problem with our healthcare system is not really solely just the economic status of a nation. And they said in recent studies, it suggests an even higher, highly advantaged American may also be worse in worse health than counterparts in other countries. So even though you have money, doesn't mean you're going to be, you know, well, better than anybody else. It's just the way it is here in America. It's just so the efficiency, the way the whole system is set up to treat illnesses. Now let's get to the Harris poll real quick. The Harris poll reported January 2020. It wound up in published in Physicians Weekly. They said 7 in 10 Americans rated their health as good and excellent, but the poll was conducted by American Osteopathic Associations, and the poll included over 2,000 people, U.S. adults, from December 2019. And the aspects of the person's lifestyle were assessed, like work, sleep, exercise habits, the environment, their mental health, and also access to health care. And the poll conducted concluded that under 60% of Americans were indeed healthy enough to consider their health good. So only 60% they were considered well enough to meet that good threshold. Well, so when they think about a whole person, you know, they consider their lifestyle, the number of other factors. But, you know, some things are outside our control, aren't they, Pastor Butch?
They are. They are.
Yeah. So there's some things that, you know, need improvement. We can't do anything about it. And they're saying, we need change. We need change. We need to change the healthcare industry. But you know what? You'd have to include the legislative branch to do that now, wouldn't you?
Yes, you would.
Yes, you would. And the thing is your healthcare in a country is estimated to be a third of the nation's domestic product or wealth, third of the nation's wealth. So who do you suppose wants to control that?
Hmm? Who do you think?
Well, drug companies. Drug companies.
Of course.
Yeah. So there's a turning point. Let's look at the big picture, how this worked, because where did we go wrong, really? If you look at it, sort of like a frog in the pot where you turn the heat up real slow, this is what's happened to us here. There were several changes right around World War II, 1945. And these changes had significant impact on our nation and the health of our American people. Here's just 8 changes that happened then. They started doing GMO foods. They genetically modified our grains, our wheat. The farming got changed. Fewer family farms, so they weren't using crop rotation methods anymore. The agricultural changed and used more chemicals. Okay. Also, fast food chains popped up and replaced those home-cooked diners. Remember, you can go get a home-cooked meal at a diner?
Oh, yes.
How about modern conveniences, which required less physical effort from us? Vaccine programs, which tended to create things like autoimmune diseases and diabetes. Your FDA was created to oversee food and drugs right around that time. And your medical schools, the doctors were no longer going to nutritional and natural healing therapy schools. They were going to AMA medical schools. So by 1945, they were all petrochemical drug company schools. There's a big change right there. And according to the National Library of Medicine 2013 report, the U.S. fared far worse in other categories of healthcare. Here's where we're really slipping and we're really failing people. We're failing in the category of birth outcomes, injuries and homicides, adolescent pregnancy and sexually transmitted infections, HIV and AIDS, obesity and diabetes, drug-induced mortality, heart disease, lung disease, and disability. So we're just like, you know, kicking the can down the road, and we're really not doing much for folks there. So we can see, you know, that the way that our healthcare system has gone, food systems, legal and governmental systems, they're all suffering tremendously. You know, we have a crisis, and the wrong people really are in key positions in many of these systems, and it's very difficult to make positive change when you have the wrong people there.
It's true.
So it is. So I tell people, but, you know, you have control over certain things in your life, and you can make changes now. So I see this big picture, and a way around it is to lean more on your alternative means for taking better care of yourself. Learn how to do that. You can watch the diet, you can get the regular exercise, but you might want to reserve, you know, the current healthcare system for instances of trauma care, you know, when you have a real emergency. But everything else, you can actually turn to your, you know, organic fruits and vegetables and your medicinal herbs, because what I see, Pastor Butch, with a lot of these healthcare problems, these metabolic meltdowns, if you will, is a lack of minerals because of the way they did the farming. They changed the farming, they changed the foods, they changed them, And they changed God's chemistry when they did that.
And people don't understand sometimes, Millie, that without minerals, vitamins are no good for anything. You have to have minerals to make the body run.
Absolutely. So chemistry all works together. I keep telling people that, like, calcium needs boron and magnesium for your body to absorb calcium, and you're not going to get that in an isolated calcium supplement. You're just not. So we need to get back to the basics. We forgot about them. We went the way of man and petrochemicals, and we wanted, you know, we wanted a shortcut, and boy, did we get one. And now we're paying for it. So, you know, get you some heirloom seeds, plant your own garden, kind of, you know, do some more conservative things for yourself. And then, you know, learn about your medicinal herbs. They are packed full of minerals, vitamins, amino acids, proteins. And that's a tendency why they taste a bit bitter is because they're so concentrated. And that's why you only need a little bit of that. So they can call us at Apothecary Herbs. They can get a free catalog. They can learn how to do a lot for themselves. Our number is toll-free at 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. And, of course, the website's thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs. And we're in the middle still of our 4th of July sale, Pastor Butch, which runs until the 10th. And so people can save 25% on their order. Details are online, but they can also call and ask.
We got about 1 minute left. I'll ask you a quick question. Do you folks offer a mineral supplement that pretty much covers the scope of minerals that we should be taking every day?
We do have a powdered plant-based mix. Again, whole food chemistry, nothing's taken away from what God put in the plants, and it does cover the gamut of vitamins, minerals, amino acids, proteins, and you just throw it in a smoothie or stir it up in your orange juice, and you're good to go.
All right, folks, that's good to know. That's a quick answer there. That's good to know. Now, you wouldn't know the rest of the market, because I better get the folks, silver was down today.
Yep.
Now, good time to buy silver, 1932 an ounce, down 3 cents. Palladium was down 644 to 872. Platinum was. Palladium was up 37 at 1980. But silver, folks, is an excellent buy right now. Get it while you can, gold also. Call me at 800-375-4188. 800-375-4188. Give her a call while you can. And thank you, Wendy, for being with us today. You're always a wealth of information.
Well, thank you for having me. And
I appreciate
it. Hope you had a good Independence Day.
I did. And Lord willing, I'll see you again next Wednesday. How's that?
Okay. See you then.
Okay, honey. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, folks. There she went. She's always a blessing to have on the program because she knows so much what she's talking about, shares much information. And I, for one, am going to call about the mineral. I just asked her about the mineral mix. I think it's a good idea. I like to have some myself just as a kind of universal type thing, cover all the bases. Back at the break, folks. A lot more news. Don't go away.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CommonSenseVoices.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hey, folks, we're back in. This is Pastor Butch Paul, and it is 6 July 2022, and good to have you with us today. We're trying to fill in for Melody today a little bit and make some sense of what we're talking about. And, folks, again, I urge you, if you're going to buy metals, buy them now. No, they could go down a little more. I'm not saying they're not, but they're never going to be this low again. Once you go back up again, you're never going to see them this low again. I mean, there's just no way possible. I was reading an article today that the silver were valued at what it should be valued at. Silver would be over $3,000 an ounce if it were valued at where it should be. Obviously, it's not. So it will turn around. The dollar is going to go is going to hit a huge bump, especially if the BRICS nation get their way and start with their own reserve currency. The dollar will go to less than nothing overnight. So I'm just telling you these things to think about in the future. Prepare for them. Other nations, folks, are, believe it or not, in worse shape than we are financially. Sri Lanka is under virtual lockdown as fuel restricted for private cars. Now, imagine living in a country where your fuel is totally restricted for private cars. You mean you couldn't get any. We had the oil embargo back in the 70s. Of course, that was all part of the plan to get the price of oil up so we can make the Middle East rich and they would back our dollar. But nonetheless, Sri Lanka abruptly restricted fuel supplies and told residents to stay home, raising the risk of more unrest as the government struggles to provide essential goods due to crippling sovereign debt crisis that has rocked the country for months. The island nation's cabinet ministers today decided to limit the distribution of fuel to essential services until July 10th. Spokesman Bandula Gunawardia said in his televised statement, adding that interprovincial public transport will likely come to a halt. Port, health services, food transport will be provided petrol and diesel, while all other sectors are requested to stay at home, provide services online in this difficult time, Gwanawarna said. A country is facing an unprecedented state of finance and foreign exchange crisis. Sri Lankan Prime Minister Randall, I'm not going to try the name, folks, told lawmakers that last week the economy had completely collapsed. Now, this is the prime minister of the country, of Sri Lanka. The prime minister said that the economy has completely collapsed. That's not good. That means basically they're bankrupt. They're done as far as the economy goes. Saying the island nation is unable to purchase fuel, a shortage of essentials and electricity has worsened. His government, in his talks with the International Monetary Fund, as well as bilateral creditors such as India and China, for fresh funds to pay for imports after the default on its dollar bonds earlier this year and saw foreign services dwindle. The government has already closed public schools and asked civil servants to work from home to curtail transport, leaving many roads in and out around the capital, Colombo, deserted over the past days, even as thousands of vehicles lined up in curries, stretching for kilometers, waiting for fueling stations to be replenished. So this is, he said, watch this, an island nation. Well, if you lived there, that would be your home, wouldn't it? And what if your economy has totally collapses? The folks going to the IMF, International Monetary Fund, to get money is like borrowing money from sharks. They're going to eat you alive anyway. They may pull you through it and get you back looking like you're prosperous again. But believe me, they're waiting for the next shoe to drop to finish just eating you alive. But this is happening to many countries, not just in Sri Lanka. And to see the situation worldwide for the man-made causes for all of this, We have got to understand, folks, that man has made these situations by using fiat currencies as what we want to call money. They're not money. They're a currency. Money is something of value that is worth something that's intrinsic in it that is valuable, like gold or silver. Nations don't do that any longer as a whole. Some are starting to turn back to it. And the ones that do are going to prosper, for the rest of us are going to suffer big time. And the food shortages worldwide. No point talking about what's happened in this country. Already we know about 100 warehouses and food processing factories and poultry farms and other things have burned or been destroyed in America on purpose. This is going on worldwide, by the way. The Dutch government wants to ban all farming. This is an investment watch by Chris Black. Dutch government to ban all farming. Now, let that sink in a minute. Ban farming. How are they going to do that? The crazies in the Dutch government plan to cut nitrogen emissions by 50 to 95% by 2030, which basically means farming will be banned. 78% of the Earth's atmosphere is nitrogen gas. The world is facing a serious food supply situation, and when I see things like this, I tend to believe they are trying to kill off a portion of the global population, no doubt. The gentleman said, I can't explain this any other way. Even purely incompetent individuals will make a decision that helps citizens once in a while, purely by chance. Everything that they have done has been detrimental. Needless to say, the farmers are not happy. The Netherlands is the second largest food exporter in the world. I did not know this. The Netherlands is the second largest food exporter in the world, and they want to ban farming there. Makes you wonder why, doesn't it? Dutch agriculture is a major player globally and is currently the biggest exporter of agriculture goods after the United States. The social contract has been broken, folks. They've just destroyed it on purpose. I did not know this. I'm amazed. I didn't know this. The Netherlands are second to the United States exporting food. I wonder how many other people didn't know that. I had no idea. I truly didn't. And to know that they're going to ban farming in the next 6-7 years, according to this article, in the Netherlands, how can that affect the world? Folks, it makes more and more sense all the time to see what Klaus Schwab said by 2030, you own nothing and you'll be happy. The Great Reset is being put in place. And the Rockefeller Foundation planned to reset the table a month after the Great Reset was announced. Surely you can see this tying together. As the powers that be that want to control us and monopolize the world's economy and the people are bringing it together a step at a time. And we are sitting and watching it happen. It's not done in secret. Although the masses never see it, it's not because it's not in front of them. They just can't recognize what really is. Well, it'll get better with the next administration. It'll get better after the election. No, folks, it won't get better after the election. It's not going to happen. This country would have to turn completely around. And the only thing it could do to stop to turn around at all is written in the scriptures. And that's to beg forgiveness. And America's not going to do that. The church don't even do that, much less the whole country. But that's where we are, folks. And I'm not one to scare you. I'm just telling the truth. It's not going to get... You may see some little bit upturns like you did with the Roe v. Wade reversal, supposedly, that everybody thought banned murdering babies. No, it didn't ban it. It put it back in the state's hands. It didn't ban anything. I'm all for the move. It did. But we should never had a murder plan in place in this country anywhere for any reason, period. But we let it happen. Are widespread layoffs coming? How the pandemic has changed employers' recession strategy. With the economy slowing, the post-pandemic surge is over for Wisconsin restaurant owner Patrick DePola and for his four pizza and pasta places. Last year, he sold some 50 orders of his popular Father's Day special, a fat tomahawk ribeye steak with all the trimmings. This year, only 7. And sales overall at 3 of the restaurants are down about 10% from a year ago. I'm pretty sure there's a recession coming, said DePola, 49, who's already begun preparing for tough economic times. Expansion plans are on ice. He reduced operating hours at his downtown Madison outlet. Value meals are featured on the menu. But there's one recession strategy that he isn't even considering at this time. He has no plans to lay off any of his 180 workers. That after all he went through trying to hire, recall, and hold on to them during the last 2 years. You know, that's a unique idea I hadn't really thought of. The people that could finally find some good workers are going to do the thing they can to hang on to them because even through a recession, they know they're going to have a hard time. I mean, if they can't find them, what are they going to do if they let them go? That's a good point. Employers like Tupola face an unusual dilemma as the U.S. economy appears headed toward recession. Given how tight the labor market remains after millions of Americans exit the workforce during the COVID-19 crisis and may never return, do they dare let go of the workers they fought so hard to attract, especially if a recession turns out to be rolling them out, as many economists expect? For Tupola, the answer is no. In fact, he's thinking about beefing up employee benefits to attract more workers and keep the ones he has. We'll just have even smaller margins to keep quality people employed, he says. I admire his faithfulness to employees and appreciate what he's got. I really do. But I say it's going to be a tough road to hoe if he's not willing to cut back on employees, folks, today. You have to manage what it costs, not just the salary you pay him, but the benefits you got to offer, and the taxes you got to pay on, the unemployment taxes, and Medicaid, and Social Security tax you have to add to what they pay. That is an expensive proposition to keep employees working when the business is slow. So, Mr. DePola, I wish you hope you the best on that. I really do. So these are things that I never thought to see in that direction, but they're here. And kind of a told-you-so saying a session here, I want to share very quickly. We all know that they've tried to destroy what we call fossil fuels, and that fossil fuels that is not really what they are at all. But nonetheless, we'll discuss that now. But fossil fuels have been taking a beating because they want to go greener. You know, with the solar power and the wind power, but it isn't going to work. They can't produce enough with those two ways of doing it. They just can't produce enough to make the difference. And now, coal emerges victorious as sanctions and green policies backfire spectacularly. Wow. When historians look back on this chaotic and turbulent period, they will find that few individuals inflicted as much damage on the government or the environment and promoted the interests of the people of the dirty fossil fuel lobby as Greta Thunberg, who by shaming and forcing serious politicians to pivot toward green energy at a time when there was nowhere near enough green capacity to replace the existing source of energy, sparked what may be the most spectacular self-owned in history. And today, the WSJ Bloomberg results all wrote about it. Folks, can you imagine a little 14-year-old nerd, Greta Thunberg, forced politicians through shaming them to turn towards green energy and has put a huge stumbling block in the way of progression in the country today to try to adopt that. They adopt that. They couldn't do it. We start with the WSJ, which concedes that what was obvious to most long ago, namely that an energy-starved world is turning to coal as natural gas and oil shortages exacerbated by Russia's war against Ukraine lead countries back to the dirtiest fossil fuel. And I disagree with that, but that's beside the point of time getting either. The scrubbers now have cleaned that up quite well, but nonetheless, let's move on. Yes, contrary to the intentions of green fanatics everywhere, their push to accelerate away from dirty fossil fuel has not only backfired spectacularly, but also exposed the hypocrisy and empty promises of so many virtue signalers. As from the U.S. to Europe to China, many of the world's largest economies are increasing short-term coal purchases to ensure sufficient supply of electricity, despite prior pledges by many countries to reduce their coal consumption to combat climate change. Adding insult to injury, the global competition for coal, which is now also in short supply years after declining investment in new mines and resources, has driven benchmark prices to new records this year. Spot coal prices at Australia's Newcastle port, a key to supplier to Asia, topped $400 a ton for the first time last month. That is unbelievable. I live in a coal-producing state. West Virginia has relied on coal for its backbone for the livelihood of the people in the state for many, many years, since we've been in a state, basically. That and timber have been, lumber have been our two essential economies, kept this thing running. Well, compared to coal, timber has been a drop in the bucket. Coal has been the hugest thing this country state's ever had to feed its families and produce energy to run itself and other states. I can remember when coal was $5 a ton. Now, you say, that's ridiculous. Well, that's what it was. And that's coal was plentiful and inexpensive. because just many years ago, including especially in the Obama administration, who did really, truly shut down a lot of mines, put them out of business, basically. He said he was going to do that before he was elected, and he did it. The price of coal went through the roof because it's harder to get. We didn't keep producing enough. We don't have enough mines open. The capacity of producers has been taken away. So the price of coal is skyrocketing. See, folks, they're going to pay for this stupidity. And I say they, that means us too. We're going to pay for it out of our pockets, for the stupidity of people that allow this kind of thing to happen. And I don't want us to say about that except we asked for it and we got it. So here we sit today, shortchanged because we were so short-sighted. And here we are, the nation, the world, paying the consequences. Oh, well, I guess, man, I would like to think that some of the people in this green movement really, really, really believe they could do something and good intentions. But we all know that the powers behind it has nothing in mind but to control the people and to profit off the masses. And that's what they do. Our gas line refiners running out of steam. As petroleum stocks dwindle and demand soars, refining margins are skyrocketing. U.S. refiners have been operating at full tilt in recent weeks to keep up with the demand. There is a growing concern that refiners may not have much room to safely increase capacity. U.S. refineries have been operating at or near maximum utilization levels in recent weeks as demand recovers. Petroleum stocks are sitting at multi-year lows. Refining margins are sky high. Refining utilization at 95% is the highest since before COVID, September 2019. If refiners don't have much room to safely raise capacity user further, while the summer session with heat waves and hurricanes could suddenly take some capacity off the market, further strain gasoline supply and putting upward pressure on gasoline prices. Refiners are running crude processing at full tilt. They're responding to U.S. President Joe Biden's continuous pestering to produce more gasoline and lower prices at the pump immediately, saying that there isn't much spare capacity left to boost utilization rates without compromising safe operations. Analysts are on the same opinion also. A recent drop in international crude oil prices, which saw in June their first monthly drop since the year 2021, coupled with lower gasoline demand and growing stocks in the past 2 weeks, have helped the average U.S. gasoline price ease back to below $5 a gallon at $4.80 a gallon on July 4th, down from a record high of $5.16 on June 14th. Many years ago, my radio show, and I'm sure others have done the same program with Mr. Lindsey Williams, a gentleman who lives in Arizona, who was a chaplain for the oil companies in Alaska many years ago. Oh, we're going to break, Tom. We're back at the break, folks. A lot more to talk about. Don't go away.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CommonSenseVoices.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hey, folks, I'm back and right in the middle of a comment before we went to break about Lindsay Williams. Again, give Melody a call while you can and the price is down. 800-375-4188. While you can, while the funds are in your hands, don't blow on something that you're not going to really need in the future. Get something essential, food, water filters, things you need to live on when the economy does drop and go to nothing, and gold and silver, 800-375-4188. But back in the, it's been 15, 20 years ago, Lindsay Williams on my radio show, many other radio shows all over the country, telling people about the price of gas going to $4 to $5 a gallon. Well, you know, we went up to the 250s and finally the threes, and now up to the $4 or $5 a gallon, like he said was going to happen. Now, he was not a prophet. He was knew the insiders of the market and the oil company back then. He knew him personally. He lived with him as a chaplain in the oil fields, and he told people it was going to come. And it did, and it's here. So is it over? No, it isn't over. Will the prices come down? I hope they do. Perhaps the price of the crude come down. Maybe it will too. I don't know. But I don't see much incline in that direction in our area yet. I mean, I have noticed many times that the price of oil goes up one day, the price goes up, gas goes up the next day. But when the price of oil goes back down, it takes a while for the price of fuel to come down from that. So I assume they paid more for the fuel. They're not going to lower it until they get their money out of it. That's my only thought. But the price changes up and down do not match. San Diego loses 22% of its police force due to vax mandates. Can you believe they're still pushing this nonsense? My goodness. Unbelievable. San Diego is witnessing the largest exodus of police officers from the city since 2009. The majority of them are quitting because of the city's continued obsession with COVID vaccine mandates. Perhaps the smartest move the people of Los Angeles County ever made was to elect Sheriff Alex Minuela, who refused to enforce the unconstitutional vax mandates. The decision probably saved them from losing a quarter or more of their law enforcement officers within the sheriff's department. Contrast that with LAPD, which was not so lucky. Officers have quit in droves or were fired with over 2,200 employees refusing to comply. This has been a repeating situation across California, and San Diego is the latest region to suffer considerable losses of LEOs over vax mandates. More than 230 San Diego police officers have left city employment in 2022 fiscal year alone. 252 sworn deputies in 2021, totaling about 22% of all deputies in active service. City officials are scrambling to increase incentives to lure new officers into the ranks, including the approval of a 10% pay raise, and many within the department were well aware that this outcome was looming. Officials now saying replacing deputies as fast as they can, as the exit will be impossible. You know, folks, in scriptures, it tells us that because the people are lawless, so to speak, that they need more princes, and the word prince in there means officers, law enforcement officers. Because the people will not govern themselves, they need more law enforcement officers. And people that will not govern themselves cannot be a free people. An immoral people cannot be a free people. They have to be controlled by somebody. It's either they're either governed inwardly or outwardly. Inwardly by their conscience and by a moral compass that's instilled in their makeup, in their character, or outwardly by people with guns in their hands. That's the people's choice. But you cannot be a free people and be an immoral people. You cannot be a free people and be wards of the state. fed and housed by the master, so to speak. It doesn't work. It won't work. It can't work. That's why in Jeremiah 17, verse 5, he said, "Cursed be the man who puts his trust in man, makes flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord." That's what's happened to this country. We started trusting our own masters now to feed us, clothe us, house us, protect us, and watch over us day from day and night, womb to the tomb. And we're slaves to them now. Isn't that a coincidence? The Word of God is proven right again. But we cannot be an immoral people and be a free people. That is impossible. The Southwest is bone dry. Now a key water source is at risk. Now, and I'm not going to time. I won't take time to get into the manipulation of weather by man, and that's been done. Folks, it's been done for years. I, for one, know personally back in the Vietnam era time, Operation Popeye was with the control over the Ho Chi Minh Trail, trying to produce enough rain to block off supplies to North Vietnamese. Now that's a fact. Well, it's the weather control has been played with for many, many years, at least back in the 50s and before that. But the droughts, I'm convinced, and along with the other things, as hurricanes and everything else, are also man-made and man-manipulated. But let's go on from that, because it's not going to make a difference. Doesn't make any difference what the reasons are that people are suffering. California and six other western states have less than 60 days to pull off a seemingly impossible feat. Cut a multi-way deal to magically reduce their consumption of water from dangerously low Colorado River. If they don't, the federal government will do it for them. The Federal Bureau of Reclamation ultimatum last month, prompted by an extreme climate change reduced drop in water levels at the nation's largest reservoirs, reopens years of complicated agreements and political feuds among the communities whose livelihoods depend on the river. The deadline represents a crucial moment for the arid Southwest, which must now swiftly reckon with the problem that has been decades in the making. Despite the oppressive dryness that has plagued the region for more than 20 years, California has in large part avoided reductions to this usage of the Colorado River, but now that the reservoir levels have fallen drastically, the Gold State may be forced to use less water, a prospect that could only further sustain a state that is already asking residents in some regions to stop watering lawns and take shorter showers. California's Imperial Valley, which with its vast swaths of farmlands, uses more water than its neighboring water districts and could be a target for much of the cuts. The state will also have to contend with water users in Arizona and Nevada, who face their own sets of limitations and internal pressures. Folks, again, water is essential for life. We can't live without it. We can't farm without it. Nothing lives without fresh water. And now we're seeing this cut getting worse and worse in the western states. California, of course, has always been a food-producing state, one of the richest in the world. But for whatever reason, this is happening. Whether we say it's nature or man-made, it makes no difference. It's happening. And we're seeing the results of it. It's going to see more of it in the stores, on the shelves real soon. And we're not the only state that is lacking for water. A state of emergency in Italy's drought-stricken north. Now, listen, Italy. Italian government declared a state of emergency in the five northern regions because of a dangerous heat wave and drought. They're taking toll on agriculture and threatening power supplies, according to Reuters. Again, folks, more food supplies in Italy have been cut off. The emergency was declared on Monday and will remain in effect until the end of the year and give local authorities the tools to take immediate action, such as imposing water rationing on homes and businesses. So far, 38.1 million euros or dollars have been embarked for northern regions, such as Emilia-Romagna. Now, folks, I'm not Italian, so it's hard. Friuli, Venezuela, Giulia, Lombardy, Piedmont, and Veneto to tackle the short water shortage. The state of emergency is aimed at managing the current situation with extraordinary means and powers, which relieve them and assist to the affected population. Now, folks, the relief and assistance to the affected population means that they're going to make them do it less. But how's it going to relieve it? I don't know. But anyway, high temperatures and arid conditions have brought the water levels of Po, Italy's largest river, which runs for more than 400 miles through the mountain region, to lows not seen in seven decades. Po provides critical water supplies to vast amounts of farmland. The drought threatens about 30% of Italy's agricultural produce and could lead to seasonal harvest declines for barley, grain, and rice. Italy's worst drought in 70 years has the salt water from the Atlantic or Adriatic Sea flowing back into the Po. Now listen to that. That's something. Italy's worst drought in 70 years has the salt water from the Adriatic Sea flowing back into the Po, the country's largest river, the longest river, making irrigation almost impossible and causing a further damage to crops hit by early summer. The extreme conditions have led to a 50% decline in hydroelectric power, which feeds about 50% of the country's power needs. Less hydroelectric power will strain the grid and put more pressure on fossil fuel power generation amid an ongoing energy crisis. Wow, river that's so low that the sea is running back into the river. This let us sink in a second. Water generally flows downhill. See, so the water needed to keep the fresh water in the river and the sea at bay is so low, it's not keeping that way anymore. Gee, that's huge. This I think most of us knew, but the UN finally confirmed this. The UN says Joe Biden's border is the deadliest land crossing in the world. Our southern border, according to the UN, because of Mr. Biden, is the deadliest land crossing in the world. President Joe Biden's border with Mexico is the deadliest land crossing in the world, according to the United Nations Group, the International Organization for Migration. More than 1,238 lives have been lost during migration in the North and Central and South Americans in 2021. Among them, at least 51 children. At least 728 of these deaths occurred in the United States-Mexico border crossing, making this the deadliest land crossing in the world. The number of deaths on the United States-Mexico border last year is significantly higher than any year prior, even before COVID-19, said Edwin Valles, author of the new IOM report on migrants in the Americans in 2021. Yet this number remains an undercount, so he's not getting the full count. The record number of deaths reflects a mass migration up to the border, where Biden's border chief, Alexandro Mayorkas, is dangling work permits and jobs to more than a million foreigners. In 2020, one-third fewer people died through North, Central, and South Africa, America, when President Donald Trump rejected illegal immigration, according to the report's data. You know, I wasn't a Trump fan, still not, but he did get that right. He did slow the illegals down to the border. Folks, that is an invasion. Like it or not, it's an invasion. And we can only sustain so much of it. And it's taking us further down the drain into oblivion as a nation. We're no longer a sovereign nation, folks. This nation was founded, and the people say, well, you're racist, say what you want, I don't care, I'm just quoting history. This nation was founded by Caucasian European immigrants. But that was who started this country. They were the main driving force of this country for many years, and most of them were, I will say, Christian. We are no longer the majority of this country, no longer. And that's on purpose, of course. To destroy a culture, you have to undermine the culture. A Christian culture cannot exist in a society when the numbers are so small that they can no longer make a really influence society. That's just the way it is. Different news: electric police cars struggling to reach emergencies without running out of power. This is in Europe. I mean, electric police cars run out of power before they reach emergency. That's not good. Officers in rural areas cannot find charging points to patrol and are having to switch to petrol or diesel vehicles. Electric police cars are struggling to reach crime scenes and emergencies without running out of power. Chris Nelson, police and crime commissioner for Gloucestershire, said his force got 66 Nissan Leafs and 9 Nissan NV200 vans in February 2020. He added, I've heard lots of problems with officers driving around the electric vehicles trying to find recharging facilities, running out of puff, and then having to get another vehicle. Although I fully understand and support climate control, my first priority is to fight crime. You know, we're laughing about that, but it's not funny, is it? It's not funny. I mean, we have police station in Michigan said they ran out of gas. They can't get to people. They ran out of fuel in their budget. Don't have fuel to buy to get people to 911 calls. In Europe, they ran out of puff, they said, for the power for their electric vehicles. They can't get to the calls. Are you seeing a total demise of any kind of structure in society, not just here, but around the world? I mean, we have Sri Lanka bankrupt. Other nations are going under because of different sanctions, different reasons. And I only touched the news today. There's so much news out there, we couldn't cover it all. If we had 5 hours a day, we couldn't cover it all. But are you seeing an undermining of the foundation for societies in the world? Can you understand that this is not by accident? Some of them maybe are coincidence, and no doubt some of them are, but for over 100 food facilities to be burned in America or destroyed in America in over a year, that's not coincidence. And to find out what's happening all over the world, that's not coincidence, folks. This is part of the Great Reset. Understand they're going to push us down the chute to the Great Reset. Are you prepared for that? Are you going to just sit idly by and let it happen and let them suck you into the abyss? And folks, what a time to bring on the beast control of the world, as the Bible has prophesied. What a time to bring on the mark, if you will, that you either follow our rules or you don't eat. Klaus Schwab said it, you owe nothing, you're going to be happy. Here we are. Folks, I'll be back with you again Friday with Melody. Melody, back tomorrow. Dave, you have a great week, a great night, and I'll see you Friday. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.